Blog Talk Radio.
This is your psychic girlfriend, Robin Richardson. And if you're like me, you're interested in how the universe works and in all things mystical. So let's explore it together. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast.
Good evening, everyone. This is Robin Richardson, your psychic girlfriend. If you're new to my world, I am a Reiki master teacher, an Akashic record master teacher, a mother of two, and currently working in a reg store. But hey, I'm here to do the show and help people to connect with their intuitions, their life purposes, and I've got my guests already chuckling. Well, it's true. Life has funny ways of throwing curveballs, and you know, I've got to tell you, along the way, I've met some interesting people, and I have one on my show right now who's giggling in the background. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Her name's Laurel O'Sullivan, and we met at CrossFit. And anybody who doesn't know what CrossFit is, you've been living under a rock. But CrossFit is a pretty hard exercise program, and when I first laid eyes on her, I thought, this woman has power, and she's authentic, she's, you know, in this world to help people. And as I got to know her, I found out exactly why. And she used to be an attorney, and she was advocating for people, and she was a public interest lawyer, and she turned into a coach, and she discovered the love of astrology. And anybody who knows me personally knows that, like, I know enough astrology just to be dangerous, but this woman has taught me a lot. Because I can't retain anything. So she's going to, if you're like me, you're going to be really interested in the show, because I'm going to be like, you know, at the seat of my chair, you know, trying to grasp what is going on in the stars. But here's the thing. She's very committed to finding and using her own voice and helping women to find theirs. And she uses astrology to help people navigate their lives. And I think it's a fabulous thing. She's helped me a lot. And Laurel O'Sullivan, welcome to the show. And thank you for being a part of my life, by the way.
Thanks, Robin. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm so glad to have met you as well. And, you know, life is a journey. What can I say? So, yeah, from attorney to astrologer, I'm absolutely discovered the passion of astrology, because it does everything you said. It helps, you know, for me personally in my own life, and this is how I use it with my client. It helps me to claim my own inner authority, find my sense of power within instead of outside of us, which is what women are conditioned to believe, that our power is outside of us, mm-hmm. and then transform those fears and those limiting beliefs that we all have that keep us stuck in our life or keep us thinking that we can't make the changes we want to make. And then it showed me a pathway forward for taking back my power. And so I think, you know, I'm on a mission to really demystify astrology and to really put it in its rightful place as a tool for empowering really everyone.
And you sure are. And I think, like, you know, your credibility as an attorney, you're a smart cookie. And here you are, you're like taking something that, like, I think so many people are so interested in, you know, even if they don't admit it, and helping, you know, to use it as a pathway for us to grow. And I, you know, I just think it's amazing. Like, you've just, it is your life purpose, you know, to like connect with that and help as one of your many tools, because I know you have plenty of tools, and I know that you're writing a book, and, you know, you've got so many irons in the fire, but I am so glad you're here. And I would love for you to talk a little bit about this freaking full moon in Leo. And tell us a little bit about that and what the heck's going on and how do we, you know, figure and navigate this?
Yeah, it's, you know, I feel like every new moon and full moon does have its own flavor. And this one has a lot of intensity to it. In astrological terms, it has what's called the T-square, which is basically creating a lot of inner tension within all of us for the purpose of growth. And Leo, as you know, since you are a Leo moon yourself, Leo is the sign of courage and bravery and heart connectedness. That's the positive manifestation of Leo. In the shadow side of Leo, we have fear of vulnerability, fear of being authentic, fear of asking for help, letting others know that we actually don't have all of our shit together, because Leo's the lion, right? So it's about bravery. Mm-hmm. And with this full moon, what I believe the overarching message is that we're all being asked to step more fully. You know, last year, 2020, we can talk about that if people need like a refresh on what was happening, but that was basically kind of awakening us all to our true selves, right? Which is, can be really scary. Mm-hmm. And it was saying, go forth and redefine your life for the next 35 years. So we kind of just came off of that. And a lot of us have had, you know, realizations about what that means. And now this Leo full moon is saying, okay, and now you need to kind of conjure up the courage to go forth and be this new person. And that's going to require you to have some support. And that's going to require you to make some decisions about what can stay in your life and what can't stay in your life. Which, you know, those can be big decisions. In a nutshell, that's kind of my overview of the full moon.
Oh yeah. I mean, I see it playing out in my own life. But like for the average Joe, like what should they be looking for? Should they, you know, how do I say this? Is there anything they can do to like magnify or, you know, just really take advantage of this moon?
Well, I think, you know, look, I think so one of the things I'll just kind of be on this little myth-busting track here during our conversation about astrology is I think a lot of times in our popular culture, we think astrology is something that happens to me. If I'm just kind of here, things are going to happen. No, you know, the energy or the astrology is 50%, and then we, our free will, is the other 50%. So it's I love the question, mm-hmm. because we absolutely have a responsibility in how we manifest or tap into the opportunities that come along with all of the changing energy, which obviously full and new moons are. So I would say it's always, as you know, during a new and a full moon, it's a time for self-reflection. So mm-hmm. it's a time for taking stock, and full moons are about completion. So it's about, you know, like, as I was just saying, sort of what I would give advice to folks listening is kind of like assessment on, which is a big assessment, but kind of like what's changed in the last year for you, and where is that area mm-hmm. of life where you're feeling like I have some changes to make, and maybe I can't do this all alone. And relationships in particular, because Venus and Pluto are involved, relationships and money and self-worth are all a part of this mm-hmm. Full moon. So it could be bringing up fears around, you know, financial fears, fears around our self-worth, fears around something that you know needs to be changed, maybe in a relationship, maybe where ask yourself, am I giving my power away somehow? So those are kind mm-hmm. of the questions that I would say. Anything like do an assessment over the last, you know, 3 to 4 months, like where have I felt like I've been giving my power away? And what is something that I can do to take back that power? And what needs to change within myself for me to do that, and where might I get some help to do that?
Yeah.
And be willing to kind of ask for that help.
Yeah, I love that. In my own life, it's just like I'm so used to, you know, doing everything myself. But, you know, I have learned to reach out and ask for help and know that I don't, like, know everything, or I don't have to do it.
I know.
Always.
I've witnessed that. It's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Super exciting.
Says the pot to the kettle. Yes.
Exactly. I know, exactly. But I also, you know, like, you're right. I mean, 2020 was just, you know, one of those years where it shook everybody in some way, you know. You know, so this year, let's talk about the themes for 2021.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Just one more.
How do we ride
that
train?
Came to me. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, how many days do we have to talk about that? but I want to add one more little note on the full moon that, so it's about shifting any limited thinking that we have about ourselves in the areas that I just mentioned, which was about money and worth and finances, and asking ourselves, how much of ourselves, of yourself, have we really been able to love and accepted as you are? And where have you been limiting yourself? And where are you really ready to grow? Because, you know, Leo is the sun. It wants to shine. So where have we not been allowing ourselves to shine in these areas? And what's a healthy move we can take in that area to allow ourselves to shine? And we'll,
yeah, that's,
if we ask ourselves that question.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I have for myself, I can only like speak for myself. So, I have been keeping kind of like a little journal about like limiting beliefs that I still have around relationships and money and, you know, worth. And like, it's interesting because it can be really subtle. There like could be really subtle, weirdo things that I thought I'd already like moved. And I have moved mountains, believe me. But, you know, there's still these little pebbles, in, so to speak, in my shoe that are giving me a little bit of an issue. But, you know, so like I'm in tune to things, but I've been noticing more of that. Like, oh, huh? Really? Is this a belief that I'm still carrying at this age? And not being hard about myself, I'm just joking, but you know, but like seeing it, getting clearer and clearer, and then being able to shift it.
Well, and I think you raise a really great point, which is that I think the two of the most significant traits that we need to be able to have in order to grow as women are curiosity and compassion towards ourselves. Because if we have curiosity, then we can take judgment out of the equation. And we're that voice of the self-critic, which, let's face it, doesn't do us any favors, only keeps us down, only keeps us stuck. It gets banished over time. And so what you've just described is lovely, because it is that idea of, you know, I think sometimes people can find astrology, while they're interested in it, it can be overwhelming, because a lot of the times it gets reported and shared in this really like detailed way. But what I would encourage anybody who's listening or interested is like, you don't need to be an expert in astrology. You need to like filter it or read it for yourself and what jumps out at you, and use that as a, like a tool for becoming curious about yourself. And I guarantee you will see, because that's how I started out. I just, you know, developed this deep, deep curiosity for my, you know, looking at my birth chart and understanding my own patterns, and then it extended to what's happening, you know, day to day. But that curiosity and compassion towards ourselves will hands down get us the furthest growth as women.
Yeah. Well, and even talking to you, it's just like it gives me more compassion for other people, because we're all walking around with this crazy chart, you know. And
oh my gosh.
This aspect looks good, or that aspect looks hard. You know, we've all come here for, you know, the experience and learning of ourselves, not only as humans, but as spiritual beings, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, to continue this idea, you know, astrology shows us the cycle of energy that we're in. And when, to your point, when we realize that everybody else on this planet is going through the same cycle, and yes, we were born on different days and different times, so it's going to look a little bit differently. But when we realize at a very high level that we're all experiencing many of the same challenges, I really find it becomes a compassionate tool for, again, removing judgment towards others. And, you know, maybe if we have time, I'm seeing this as I'm sure everybody in, you know, in the United States and elsewhere is right now. I'm seeing this play out even on the community level, where it's easy to get really, there's so many divisive issues right now, but instead of like finding yourself getting really caught up in it, when you understand that like, oh, this is about the North Node being in Gemini and the South Node being in Sagittarius, or this is about the age of Aquarius or whatever, it really helps to kind of like, have compassion and empathy for everybody, and just understand, you know, we're human beings all here trying to have this experience. And some of us are, you know, having a better time of it than others, but no need for judgment.
Well, right. And, you know, going into that like sort of projection thing, like how you're responding to people, like is, you know, is the growth. It's like, if you're responding are reacting to the crowds and getting frustrated and upset. Like, you know, I think there's the conversely, it's that same thing about yourself. You know, you're just that critical about yourself. But if you're looking at the others with compassion, then you have that ability to be compassionate for yourself, you know? And, you know, I'm finding myself a lot more compassionate for people who are struggling with things that I have no idea about, but they act out like lunatics, and, you know, and I'm like, what?
Right.
You know, but instead I'm just like, okay, you know, you poor being, you know, you must have a really challenging chart.
Right. So what else, absolutely.
So what else do we have to look forward to this year? What are some of the highlights?
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the themes. And, you know, one of the key themes, and for those who are listening, I have a YouTube channel under my name, Laurel O'Sullivan, and I actually have a video on this topic. So if you want to know more about it, you can go there and look at my Uranus square Saturn. And that, so I want to kind of break that down and describe what that is, because that energy, mm-hmm. it's, so we have Uranus Taurus, which is an earth sign, and Uranus is the planet, which is the great disruptor. So it's here to liberate us. It's here to help us become who we were created to be, not who we were conditioned to be. So I like to think of Uranus as coming here to like help us release the shackles that have been put on us by our families, by our culture, you know, by our upbringing. And it's here to say, go forth and be who you came here to be. And so right now in its phase for 7 years in a sign, so from 2018 to 2025, we have Uranus in Taurus. And Taurus is an earth sign. So those energies don't really go together because earth signs are all about solidity and stability. So it's an interesting marriage. So Uranus right now is making a square to Saturn. Uranus represents the future. Saturn is an Aquarius. Aquarius is an air sign. Aquarius is about the revolutionary. It's also about the individual. But it's also about humanity, about society, about doing things for the greater good. And so you have these two making what's called a square or a 90-degree angle. And so, again, we experience that as inner tension. Every single sign, anybody who's listening, you have this energy playing out in your chart. It's playing out in different areas of your life. But essentially, this is like a tug of war between the past, which is Saturn, and the future, which is Uranus. And the cautionary tale here, what we are constantly being asked throughout 2021 to be mindful of, is to not project the past into the future, which is a tall order. Because Uranus again wants to liberate us. So this year many say this is the year we've firmly entered the age of Aquarius, which is the age of the individual. And we can talk more about what are themes associated with that. And then we have Saturn, which is like, you know, the old wise, you know, grandfather who kind of wants to keep us like dotting our I's and crossing our T's and don't rush anything. And Uranus is like electricity. It's like unpredictable, chaotic energy. We don't know when it's going to come. And so what I say to people is we've got a tug of war between the past and the future. And so the only way that we can navigate this is to constantly be reminding ourselves to be present, to come into the middle of those two. And so doing anything like grounding exercises, meditating, journaling, walking in nature throughout this year are really important. And there's three key dates that I'll share, because that's when that energy makes a perfect square. And those three dates, so this is time of the year where you might be experiencing this tension, this inner tension between, but I want to move in that direction, but I'm afraid because this thing happened in the past and I don't know if that same thing is going to it's going to play out that way. And so we have to bring ourselves, that awareness alone is going to make a huge difference. So February 17th, June 14th, and December 24th. Those are the three dates, and you'll find the energy probably a month leading up to those dates. You'll start to feel that.
Say the dates again.
It's intense. Yes. The three dates are February 17th, June 14th, and December 24th. And they're going to be particularly the signs that are going to feel that energy the most intensely are the fixed signs, which are Aquarius, Taurus, Scorpio, and Leo.
Oh, I'm so screwed.
Yeah. I know. I've got two of the three, too, baby, so I understand.
Yeah, and then I've got a daughter that's Taurus. God forbid.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, it's growth. It's all growth, right?
I'm going to have to start collecting more wine.
Yeah, but really that aspect is here to help us cultivate resilience and to like really activate the revolutionary within us so that we can come home to our own inner wisdom and our own knowing. And, you know, that all sounds really good. I understand that. So it's like we're sharing with you these kind of high level things that folks need to like you practice. That's all it is, you know, the awareness helps us ground us in the practice.
Absolutely. I mean, I really, you know, I can feel that. Like I can see, you know, it's really interesting, you know, being who I am in the world and seeing the teeter totter, you know, between the past and the future and like trying to keep that balance. And well, I don't really think there's balance, to be honest. I think you don't have to go so far one way or the other, but you know, there mm-hmm. it's a game to stay stable, I suppose, without like the big swings of imbalance.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm finding that like easier and easier to find that, to get back to that place of managing that balance. But you know, this is
yeah.
very helpful.
And I think another way I ran across this phrase recently when I was sort of like researching the energy for the year, and I think this sums it up really nicely too, but is I'm no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I'm changing the things mm-hmm. I cannot accept.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's kind of turning that phrase on its head. Yes. So it's
it
turning
really
the serenity
is.
Prayer
yeah.
on its head.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like that's the theme, right? There's so much... like even just right now, I don't know if people are familiar with what's happening in, you know, with stocks and the GameStop and the Reddit people buying,
yeah.
you know, outsmarting. You're literally, that's Uranus disrupting the financial,
yep.
the way the financials have been,
yep.
which I find completely exciting, you know, and it is a rebellion.
Yep.
It is a revolution.
Yep.
I mean, it is like, when you were talking about it, I was just like, oh my goodness. And it is like, the future coming to say, you know what, we're not going to do the past anymore. We're not going to be this way. And,
yeah.
you know, and hate to get into politics, but let's look at, you know, our new vice president, you know, female. I mean, she's disrupting.
Absolutely.
Then, you know, and breaking up systematic racism. And this is, it's a really interesting time to be living.
It is.
You know, I'm applying the astrology, Laurel. Look at me.
Yeah. Well, and that to me, honestly, is what's the most exciting about it. It's not the, you know, I think so much often well-meaning astrologers come at it from a very technical perspective. And I think you lose a lot of people because when we can kind of ground it and explain what's happening in our own lives, I think that's when it's exciting. And this is like, as much as it's a very challenging time, there are opportunities for us to claim our individuality while at the same time that, you know, if we're doing the best of the Aquarius energy, it's about fairness and equality and what's right for the group. And we're all equal and special and we have a role to play. And it is about upending the hierarchy because that's Saturn in Aquarius. Aquarius is the government, and we have this Uranian energy that wants to interrupt things, that wants to upend the social status of things as how they've been. So I think it's a very exciting time, but what we need to understand is that there's probably going to be 4 or 5 years of transition as we move deeper into the age of Aquarius, where this upending is going to maybe feel a little bit chaotic, but know that we're kind of moving. I know you said, like, I don't think we ever get to a true balance point, but we're moving in that direction, you know, and then nothing,
yeah.
a system never stays in balance for long. Right. And then there's another interrupter that comes along. So,
yeah,
so that's evolution.
And it's
know,
like
that's our
phrase,
evolutionary process.
Yeah. Yeah. And that phrase, you know, being uncomfortable with, you know, being comfortable in the uncomfortable, like, really plays hard for me here, because it's just like, yeah, like, if you're riding that edge, that's growth, right? So the, if you can be on that edge of discomfort, you're growing constantly. You're not going to be stagnant, you know? And, you know,
right.
So, like,
it,
astrology
right.
has also taught me that there's always something new. There's always something
yeah,
new to learn
and
about,
and
it, you know. Go ahead.
I mean, and there is, and I think that, you know, the so if we want to talk about Aquarius, you know, the positive, you know, Aquarius is about growth and innovation and the individual, but the shadow side of Aquarian energy, and the reason that I'm saying we're in the age of Aquarius for folks who are newer to astrology is because we look at the cycle of Saturn as it goes around the 12 signs of the zodiac. And so Saturn just started a brand new cycle. It had been moving through all the earth signs. And so 2020 was significant for many reasons. I won't go into all the details, but we had three coming to an end. And at the end of the year, we had this big movement of Saturn from where it had been in the earth sign for over 200 years out of Capricorn and into Aquarius, the air signs. So air signs are all about communication, collaboration, ideas, innovation. You know, it's faster moving energy. Earth is slow. It's the energy of the industrial revolution, of capitalism. And so this is a huge, like, and so for the first 2 months of this year, we're going to be experiencing, and I know I am personally, and you've described it, Robin, in your own life, like kind of this, like a little bit of chaotic, like shift, because it's that shift from earth to air energy, and like things are buzzing, mm-hmm. communities are buzzing. There's a lot of like a little bit of freneticism, and we kind of are working through that transition. But the shadow side of that, of Aquarius, is that there's only one truth. So it's kind of dogmatism. And, you know, I think we're all seeing that play out, right, in the larger, you know, discussions around politics and so forth in this country and elsewhere in the world. So we need to be mindful always of that shadow side.
Oh, yeah. Darn shadow. We have it. Yeah, it's true. Okay, so... What else can you tell us about the age of Aquarius? Is there anything else, or should we move into the communication period with the Mercury going retrograde and what that means?
Yeah, we can definitely talk about, you know, Mercury retrograde, I feel like, is this nicer, easier topic to kind of talk about. So yeah, let's dive into that.
All right. It's going to be happening. It, like, what, January 30th? But we've been in the shadow period, but I don't know, like, maybe people don't really understand what the shadow period means. So maybe you could explain that first.
Yeah. So let's like, debunk Mercury retrograde a little bit, because I for most people, that's, like, maybe the one thing they know about, you know, the transiting energies. So Mercury retrograde, you know, retrograde implies it's moving backwards. Mercury is the planet of communication. It's considered, you know, it's associated with our intellect, how we communicate, our cognitive energy, our beliefs. And so every year it goes retrograde three times for about 3 weeks each time. So it's obviously, you know, one of the more common occurrences, but it's actually not moving backwards. It's just standing still. And so whenever a planet stands still, that's an opportunity for us to, we basically internalize that and feel that energy more internally. So even though Mercury retrograde gets this bad rap because we're like, oh no, like, should I not, you know, buy a computer, or my, you know, device is going to break down, or I'm going to have some major glitch, or I shouldn't sign a contract and things like that. I get asked these questions all the time. Should I not launch something new? And it's really an opportunity to reassess how we communicate, how we think about things. So it's actually kind of this like rest period for us to kind of regroup and rethink about things. So I heard that explanation several years ago, and I was like, that, I like that, because it's almost like Mercury retrograde is not this curse, it's a gift for us. And so, yeah, so this year, it's the first one happens on January 30th, and it'll last until February 20th. So the shadow period, as you were hinting at, is basically when the planet is starting to really slow down, and that's usually about 2 weeks before, and then it takes about 2 weeks after the period ends effort to kind of like get up to full speed. So, and for each of the earth, air, water, and fire, it happens in different areas of their life. And, you know, just as an example, for the earth signs, this Mercury retrograde is happening on January 30th in their second house. So you being a Capricorn rising, this is going to impact your house of money and values and self-worth, how you value things. So it's an opportunity to reevaluate your finances, and, you know, probably not a good time to take a major financial risk. So, you know, if somebody, for instance, maybe had been looking for a house or had been initiating something that happened before the Mercury retrograde period, well, then all of the kind of caveats and things we hear about, oh, should I not do this during Mercury retrograde? You know, those basically kind of go out the window. But if you were to sort of like just initiate something and want to, you know, quickly sign a deal or bring something to completion or quickly launch something new, I would caution against that, where the energy is brand new during that period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like if you're upgrading or something like that, it's a little different. Like if I were to upgrade a computer, like, yeah, or something like that, or is that, not, or am I just really off the mark there?
No. I mean, I think upgrading the computer, buying a new computer, like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, a lot of times people think about like buying a property, like signing a major contract when like, and if you were an earth sign where it's happening in your second house around money and finances, like, let's just say you decided to move and you happened to go within 1 week and you found that perfect house and you were like, hot dang, I'm going to sign a contract and it all happened really quickly. I might caution against that because it had all like been happening within that short period of time. But, you know, if you had started looking for a house in December and then maybe you found it in the middle of the Mercury retrograde and even signed it towards the end, I think that would be okay. It's just that you don't want to necessarily like initiate anything brand new during that time period.
Yeah. So some people say, and you know, I love your opinion on this, like former lovers or people from the past come back. What's that about?
You know, I don't know if I... Yeah, I don't know if I totally buy into that. I think it's really, that is something that I would say is probably like more dependent upon the particular astrology of the individual. I mean, I guess it's like an opportunity, like I was saying, at a high level to kind of revisit the past, to reflect on the past. I do hear that a lot. I have never necessarily personally experienced that, but I suppose, you know, it's always possible.
Yeah. Well, you know, what happens, I think the last Mercury retrograde, there was a lot of people like, you know, people that I'd known a long time ago, you know, just in various different arenas, not necessarily romantic partners, but like friends, like that kind of came back around in that period. So I thought that was kind of interesting, like more so than had ever been, you know, it seemed like a whole flood of people.
Yeah.
Like, where have you
and
been
I wonder,
for 36 years.
I kind of remember that, and I'm thinking for you that might have been happening in your 11th house, which is the house of like our network, our community, our friendships. So I think that can definitely be true if Mercury retrograde is activating those more social houses, which is going to be again dependent on whether you're air, fire, earth, water, etc.
Yeah, for me, it just seemed like a lot of old friends came back, which is great. I mean, these reconnections have been very, very much of a blessing, you know?
Well,
so, I mean,
I'm
that way it was
now
fun.
I'm actually, yeah, I'm remembering this now, and I'm thinking that, you know, so one of the other big shifts that happened last June is that we had, so every 18 months, the nodes of the moon shift, and the nodes show us kind of, when the nodes shift for everybody, that kind of shows us a shift for, again, the societal energy where we're all kind of being asked to head. And so they shifted last May and the North Node moved out of Cancer and into Gemini, and which was a pretty big shift because we went from water to air. And Gemini is like obviously it's an air sign. It's about communication, but it's about the facts, It's about just knowing what the facts are and finding the truth through the facts. And then we had the South Node, which is what we're all being asked to kind of leave behind and let go of for an 18-month period of time, moved into Sagittarius. And I really love sharing this because Sagittarius is kind of the know-it-all of the zodiac. It's sort of the self-righteous, you know, that's the shadow side I'm presenting, obviously. But, you know, Sagittarius on the bright side is the truth seeker. It's the philosopher. It's the intellectual. It's the lawyer, the justice seeker. But on the shadow side, it can have this self-righteousness tendency. And so we are absolutely seeing that play out, right? And even like the dialogues around, you know, school reopenings or, you know, you name it. There's these two polar extremes around those who claim like I'm standing for the facts and the truth, and then those who are kind of subverting that and getting a little bit on their self-righteous soapbox. And so that's like the dichotomy that we're seeing play out right now on sort of the global or national stage. And, you know, it's really challenging as all get out. But if we can kind of ground ourselves and remember that, like, asking ourselves, what is the truth? You know, I mean, that's actually another theme of this year is, like, being really clear about asking that, like, where is the truth? And how do I know what the truth is? And being willing to question, because I feel like on a fundamental level in this country, we've almost kind of forgotten, or this idea of questioning has become very polarizing.
Yeah. Because we've got such extreme, you know, yeah. It's like the conspiracy versus like really kind of questioning authority from a healthy, balanced place.
Yes.
You know, so it's like two kinds, like the dark side and the let's shine light on the truth, whatever it is.
Yeah, and it's like we can then have kind of fun with these different patterns that we've just talked about, like what is truth and what is the shadow side of truth? Where is the individual and the individuality and that desire for freedom? And I think that, you know, letting go of that dogma and asking ourselves and really being able to like reflect on it, like what do I know? What are stories that I've held on to from the past? You know, here we go with that Saturn Uranus energy. And where am I like exaggerating, you know, exaggerating what might happen in the future or what's happening now because of my own experience in the past. And so we have to be ready to kind of like let go of that past and lean into this faith that tomorrow can be better, which is hard given the year that we've just come off of. So I'm not trying to like simplify any of this, but you know, I think that in this sense, astrology can be a really, like, it's a humanitarian tool in some way for really kind of understanding the larger themes and cycles that we're all moving through.
Yeah. And it's so interesting to see it playing out, like, you know, just how you've explained it and seeing it, like, you know, like concretely how it's playing out on the world stage. I mean, you can't ignore it, you know?
No.
It's fascinating. And then your own role in that, like what you're saying, the individual, like, where am I questioning my own, like, what is my truth now? You know, when I'm looking at my own limited beliefs from the past, you know? So like, you know, that's been an interesting journey, you know, to look at, wow, I believed this for so long and it's never really worked out well. So why did I continue to believe, you know? These are the conversations I have with myself. Now you're welcome to my head, right? You know, like I'm going down the street going, why do I believe that I shouldn't be going to work today? No, that's a drugstore. I mean, you know, it's everything. It's like questioning everything and trying on new beliefs for fun, you know, just to see what might work for me, you know?
Yeah.
Or take me in a different direction.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's a great observation because, you know, we are, again, Age of Aquarius is about respecting the individual and allowing ourselves freedom to be us. But at the same time, it's very easy when we're having our human experience to forget that we need to give freedom and that same respect. And so, as you said, having that self-awareness requires us to break out of our limitations and our fixed habit patterns that we all get into. And you know who the signs that this is going to be the easiest for this year. It's not the fixed signs, unfortunately, that I just mentioned, Leo, Taurus, Aquarius, and Scorpio. It's the mutable signs, the ones that are more adaptable, which is Virgo, Gemini, Sagittarius, and Pisces, because they're the more go with the flow. And so those signs are going to have a little bit of an easier time this year. I know. And I don't have like almost any of that adaptable, mutable energy, darn it. That's why I needed astrology. Save me.
Well, yeah, I understand. So tell the audience a little bit about like your practice, and you know, if they want to get a hold of you, like what you got going, because you're amazing, and like I highly recommend people to. You know, to rush, not waste any time, but, you know, sign up with you because you got a lot to offer. And I also recommend you record it because there's so much that Laurel can give you.
There really is. Well, thank you. Thanks, Robin, for that. So I coach women both one-on-one individually, but also in groups. And then I offer consultations around your birth chart reading. And really the birth chart reading is a fantastic way to get to know me, to get to understand how I work, because my approach to astrology is, I have this sort of mantra that I use in my practice, which is about second chances. And that's really why I became passionate about astrology, because I believe that we never get one chance to do anything. And there's this huge opportunity that we have in our life to shift and fundamentally shift our perspective and our way of understanding ourselves from this outward orientation where, you know, we're conditioned as women to believe that our power resides outside of ourselves and our, you know, what other people think of us and our roles and our responsibilities, and to internalize that, to understand, it's kind of like Glinda the Good Witch told Dorothy, you had the power all along, my dear. And so that's my greatest pleasure, is to help that light bulb go off in women, for them to understand, we use your birth chart and we chart your course. We show you what your unique strengths are. We all came here with a unique mission that we're here to fulfill. And I help you really to connect with that, to understand what your strengths are. And I have to say, a lot of what my clients say to me is like, you gave me the permission to really believe in my dreams. And from there, you know, it's a matter of moving forward to transforming those limiting beliefs and those fears that really can keep us stuck. And then finding that pathway forward to claiming that new way of embracing change and making, you know, a lot of my clients come to me because they're trying to make a decision. They're trying to make a decision about a relationship, about a career change, about even things like how they parent or what their relationship to finances are. So really understanding those in a different way. And most of us, we go through life and we're looking for somebody else to give us permission to make the changes and to own our power. And that's why I find astrology powerful, because we give ourselves that permission. And that's really the beginning of a whole new orientation to life. So in February, I'm going to be launching both a group coaching practice, which will probably have around 10 to 15 women coming together for 90 days to really learn what I call about our own story, to come into kind of deep understanding of who we are and what we're here to do, our purpose. But then, as I said, I also have one-on-one coaching that I offer women, which is they also have opportunity to participate in the group, but they also get the deep one-on-one connection to myself. And my website is laurelosullivan.com, and you can email me, laurel@laurelosullivancoaching.com, or go to the website and learn more.
Well, thank you. And I hope people take advantage of this, because you are phenomenal. And I so appreciate you being on the show. And I'm sorry we didn't get the call today, but next week we will, because next week we got John C. Morley. John C. Morley is a serial entrepreneur, and he is also a fabulous intuitive. And we're going to be talking about facing fears, and we will be taking readings. Mm. And Laurel, again, thank you so much for being on the show. And everybody, take a listen and show up next week and go over to laurelosullivan.com. And if you want to know more about me, you can go to yourpsychicgirlfriend.com and find out more about what I'm doing. So see you next week.
Thank you.
And have a great weekend.
Thanks, Robin. Bye, everyone.